Welcome to the Packet Pushers Podcast. This is a show about data networking. If you work in a data center, if you do things with TCP/IP, if you configure routers and switches and firewalls, if you're really curious about this SDN thing, by golly, this is the show for you. This is the place to be. Home base for us is packetpushers.net. You can follow us on Twitter at packetpushers. The show today brings a couple of guests from the industry, and we're going to talk about some more of that software-defined networking stuff, specifically northbound interfaces. But before we get to that whole conversation, I would like to say hello to my co-host and good friend, Mr. Greg Farrow. Greg, how does the day find you, sir?
Well. Writing, just for a change. It's been a long and long couple of weeks of writing since I last traveled away, and I've been home cranking out the things. Speaking of which, because we are working on the Packet Pushers business, can I plug some things?
Please, plug some things.
So one of the things that would be really helpful with people is if you're listening to the show and you're listening to it through iTunes, if you could go to the iTunes store and leave a lovely review. Because when you do, people leave reviews or update their previous reviews, it helps other people to find the show. Which helps us to bring more community content like the one that we're recording today. And speaking of shows, we do also have the community podcast, Mr. Banks.
The community podcast is a podcast channel that Greg and I have created, which allows you as a listener to try your hand at podcasting with basically no burden on you except for finding your guests, recording some audio, and then working with us to get the show uploaded and published. We got the platform. We have some excess capacity, and so we'd love it if anyone out there who wants to try podcasting gives it a shot.
Yep, and you can do one. Like, one of the things we noticed was that most people never get to 10. So we're giving people a chance to publish one or two or three a year and share that with the audience. Now, recently, Orhan Erhan published a show on CCDE study and talked about his experiences for prepping and passing the CCDE, which was and just one show. I don't know if he's got more in the pipe. Do you know?
He has been talking with me in email that he's going to be doing some more. So hopefully, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of thing. This is your chance to join the community and share your experiences. Now, maybe you want to get together in a study group and have three or four of you talk about some CCNA or CCNP study, or maybe you want to, you know, get together and have a talk about Wi-Fi or some topic. We will happily share our platform with you. Just get in touch, email us with the usual thing. So I just wanted to plug those things today because we don't often do a very good job of promoting ourselves, Ethan.
Well, and of course, community is a very big deal to us, and I made it to the Cisco Live show this year, and so many of you that were at the show came up and shook my hand. To be frank, it was a little overwhelming. Great stories from a lot of you about what you've gotten out of the show and how much you've enjoyed it or how it's actually impacted the networking that you're doing for real because you listen to the show. And I had some of you tell me that you hardly check any news anywhere else anymore because you get it all from us and keep up that way. And somebody told me a story about how one of our shows had impacted how he designed his data center. He listened to this one set of shows over and over again because of the work that he was doing. So community's big, and the more that we can include the things that you that are out there listening, you know, and you want to share it on our platform, that's great. We want to do more of those things.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, otherwise, I've been great. I've been at home. I've been writing. I've been doing advisory work, consulting for customers, and all that. And most interestingly, I've been doing a lot of work on Amazon and Azure lately, learning how to do networking in completely new platforms. And I tell you, my head hurts about that whole thing.
My day job has been some DMVPN conversion from an old platform to a new. The old DMVPN was a curious configuration on the spokes, is the kindest way I can put it. And we've been rebuilding it and retooling it to conform to the Cisco design guide and getting that all going, me and my partner in crime at my day job. And I, of course, have a bunch of my own writing that I am doing as well. Well, let's move on from that and get into the show today. And we've got two guests with us, Sarwar Rasa from HP and Colin Dixon from Brocade. Let's start with Colin. Colin, would you introduce yourself to the audience and tell the folks a bit about who you are, your background, and what you're doing there at Brocade?
Sure. So my name is Colin Dixon. I'm a principal engineer at Brocade. And I guess my background is a little bit different from most people. I got my PhD in computer networking and distributed systems from the University of Washington at the end of 2011. And I'm sort of a networking and data center and distributed systems researcher by training. But I got involved in sort of SDN controllers, starting with Floodlight, and ended up being heavily involved in Open Daylight. I'm a co-author from something which seems to refuse to be stop being mentioned, which is the Dixon-Erickson proposal that sort of fixed some of the original disputes over Open Daylight. And since then, I've just sort of been trying to do my best to help Open Daylight become the best thing it can possibly be, which I did at IBM Research until recently, and now at Brocade, where I think most of my responsibilities so far fall inside of Open Daylight, although I'm trying to come up to speed on the internal stuff as fast as I can there. I think it's my third week, or maybe my fourth week, starting this week.
Yeah, Brocade has been interesting for me to watch as it keeps attracting a lot of folks that are very active in this space, doing things with software-defined networking. So you seem to have joined a very interesting team of folks.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think Dave Meyer was the first person to go, and then he was sort of there for a bit before Benson Schleicher. Is that how you say his last name? I should probably figure that out.
Benson Schleicher.
And Tom Nadeau and others. I'm trying to think. Luis Gomez is also involved in Open Daylight, and he's joined recently. And there's sort of a collection of other really, really bright people that you may have heard less of. You know, some people that used to work on 1PK and that kind of thing. So it's exciting. And there's a good mix of people that are good at software and people that know their networking. And in some ways, in SDN, I found that it almost helps to not know your networking. It's nice to sort of have people that aren't, I don't know, tainted is the word that comes to mind, but, because they end up coming up with, you know, well, why don't we just do it this simpler way? And you're like, I don't know, because we did it this way.
Because we've always done it this way, damn it.
Well, let's introduce our next guest to the podcast, and that is Sarwar Raza from HP. And Sarwar, same thing for you. Would you describe a little bit about your background and what you do at HP?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Sarwar Raza. Currently at HP, and actually have been here, as I was telling Greg and Ethan before we started recording. Counting my tenure at 3Com, I've been sort of with the same employer about 14 years now. All of it in networking. Started off on the carrier side, doing network management applications, VoIP, 3G, RAS. Worked my way into the enterprise side, spent a bunch of time in enterprise voice over IP, and that's actually where some of my early work in APIs and northbound started. We started putting these programmable APIs on top of voice systems, which at the time was quite a novelty. If you go back to things like in the early 2000s, the ability to do remote call control, and this is before soft phones were ubiquitous, moving on to soft phones and the APIs you needed on call servers and all the intermediate systems to be able to do that. Spent a lot of time in that space, with the acquisition of HP, I joined with the acquisition of 3Com by HP, I joined the Advanced Technology Group in HP Networking, which is the office of the CTO, and spent a bunch of time, again, network management, wound my way into SDN. Exactly. Wound my way into SDN. A lot of people conflate management, network management with SDN. I think the fact that I grew up building management systems, both carrier scale, enterprise scale, was useful training for the world of SDN. Management's important, but it's not the same thing. I've been leading a lot of the SDN work at HP. Working with the R&D teams, working with the PLM teams, and most recently, I have the privilege of leading up HP's participation in Open Daylight. We recently announced that we are increasing our contribution up to the platinum level. We started off as a founding member, but only recently have we sort of upped our commitment. And I also happened to chair the Northbound Interfaces Working Group in the ONF. So that's a group that was chartered about, almost 7 or 8 months ago. We'll probably talk more about the work we're doing there, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, you mentioned Northbound Interfaces, and that is the main topic of the show. But why don't we start by setting that up for folks who are unfamiliar? And the reason I say that is a lot of our audience is, we've been talking about SDN quite a lot on the show, but getting into the specifics of it and implementing it are things, SDN's more of an idea than an actual practice for the majority of folks that are out there right now as network operators. So if we talk about an SDN controller, and if you think of that as the directional center of what we've got going on in an SDN environment, SDN in a southbound direction would be talking to the network devices, routers and switches and other things that make up a network infrastructure. The northbound direction would be applications communicating what they need the network to do down to the SDN controller. So you got a southbound, which has gotten a lot of talk, and OpenFlow as being one of the major southbound protocols that's out there. Northbound, not so much, because we don't have not so much conversation around it, because we don't really have a standard for that. Every vendor is kind of doing their own thing. Now, did I reasonably well describe northbound? Is there anything you guys want to add to that to bring more clarity to what a northbound interface is as it comes to SDN?
Well, yeah, so this is Sarwar. I'll take that one first. I think you've got it reasonably defined. The one clarification I would add is that there is not a single northbound interface. And there is not, a single, I like to say, there's no one API to rule them all. No matter how you slice your SDN architecture, no matter where you're standing, looking up, looking down, there's always a northbound and a southbound. And even in the context of an SDN controller, there's a what I'll call a way north API that applications ought to consume. But there are probably several layers of APIs and NBIs, right underneath that, talking to the various controller subsystems and services, and each of those is a northbound interface in its own right. So, when I have the conversation about NBI, I like to talk about this collection of interfaces that eventually provide an application interface. But to simplify it down to all you need is a single northbound to convey application intent, I think it oversimplifies it, especially right now where a lot of things and concepts in SDN are still being figured out. So that's the only clarification I would offer.
I think you're hitting on one of the sub-conversations around northbound interfaces that I've heard over the last couple of years is just because there's so much ground to cover there, how you would standardize it, it isn't even... Colin, going back to the conversation we had at Open Daylight about this topic, I think you made the point, well, what exactly is it we're trying to standardize? What is it we think a northbound interface is supposed to do? That's where we're at in this phase.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of wanted to extend what Sarwar said, which is, I think about it as sort of being, it's vertically sliced into layers where, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with Linux APIs, but, they tend to be layered where you have sort of really, really low-level stuff like raw sockets at the bottom. Then you sort of have, TCP sockets and, you keep on going up the stack. But similarly, it's also sort of horizontally partitioned where you have, an API about files and an API about network connectivity and an API about scheduling. You don't have sort of a single, so it's sort of both vertically layered and horizontally sliced. And I think you're going to see SDN controllers do something similar and, different parts are at different levels of maturity. I mean, I think almost every single controller has a way to track hosts and they look more or less the same. They've got a function called get all hosts and it returns a list of all the hosts in the network, along with where they're connected. And you have, a get topology, a set of topology aware sort of functions. But I think those are relatively low level, the sort of the low hanging fruit, so to speak. And I think we're just beginning to sort of stretch up to the higher levels. You have, all of these declarative intent-based APIs that people keep on talking about, which I think have a lot of promise, but they're sort of way up in the clouds compared to where we are with the code right now, at least inside of Open Daylight. Sort of bringing those together is going to be really interesting. But I think in the process, you sort of have to ask, what do people actually want to accomplish with this stuff? And, you know, and what are the critical functions? And I'm not sure we're quite to that level of clarity yet.
Myself, I've been doing a lot of research lately around optical networking. And optical networking has a lot of SDN-like properties. It's, you know, if there was ever a technology that was ripe for orchestration and management, it's DWDM in the modern era, because the people who've been running DWDM for the last 15 years have been absolute idiots. I don't know if you've noticed. Anybody done optical? Yeah. Those people have taken the simplest possible technology and made it as hard to use as possible, because it's fundamentally a MUX. How complicated can it be to configure a MUX? I swear, DWDM people are just on a completely different planet. But, I mean, the optical, if you're going to configure an optical network through an Open Daylight controller, you're going to need a completely different set of primitives, because the language that optical people speak is not packet-driven, it's circuit-driven, right? You're saying, I want to enable a new Lambda on a DWDM line on a signal that's got, you know, whatever. That's very different from saying, I want to add a route to use this path instead of that path. And those northbound interfaces are going to be very varied. Now, that's a rather extreme example of two different types of networking. But what about if you're going to have a northbound interface for firewalls? What about a northbound interface for IDS systems? Are you going to configure? How granular do you want to configure an IDS system? Is that the sort of discussions? I mean, this is what's in my mind. Is this the sort of discussion that's going on with the northbound interfaces?
Sarwar, I'll let you take that one to start off.
You know, I don't think we're at a point yet where we're talking about orchestrating, or rather formulating the northbound interfaces for, you know, the various network services outside of the SDN controller. So, you know, while I think, you know, being able to orchestrate, you know, your security services and your IPSs, your firewalls, etc., a good place to get to. I think right now, you know, the scope of most of the discussions is, you know, the controller and core controller services itself, as well as the application requirements, rather the abstract application requirements that need to be conveyed to the controller in such a way that the application writers don't need to know what's going on underneath. So, you know, for example, if you looked at the early controllers, and, you know, big fan of, you know, the work that was done in Floodlight and even some of the preceding controllers, all you had was essentially a thin shim over OpenFlow in terms of how applications were dealing with controller and controller services. And on the one hand, what you want is to be able to abstract that to make it protocol, media, you know, language agnostic. On the other hand, I think, as Colin mentioned, we're still trying to figure out what that collection of core services is. We're still trying to figure out how those services end up, you know, talking to each other. I mean, the last thing you want is this API right on top where, you know, every time you want to talk to a network service, you have to go all the way back up and down. Again, not terribly useful. These various NBIs, you know, to Colin's analogy, right, there will be several layers. Those layers will interact with each other, both horizontally and vertically. We talk about various latitudes of northbound interfaces. I think what Colin described was, you know, a bunch of latitudes as well as a bunch of longitudes. And I think that's a very useful way of thinking about it. And at the end of the day, it's going to take a while. And I also want to address the, you know, the earlier comment that Ethan had about standardization. So, you know, I think standardization eventually, good goal. I don't think anyone's rushing to standardize yet. I mean, we certainly aren't in ONF, right? I think the work group in ONF was to try and get, you know, like-minded people together and say, okay, let's work on this together, as opposed to 18 controller vendors coming up with 18 different ways of doing the same thing, which is what was frustrating application developers. We had partners who basically came to us and said, hey, you know, we have to make a hard choice between supporting you or supporting someone else. We know we're going to have to do work, you know, the more platforms we want to support, but can you help us out by at least coming together on your interface? You know, that was part of our motivation for jumping in and doing that work. And I think that's valuable. It'll still be some time before everything underneath sort of shakes out. And I think standardization is an eventual goal to look forward to, but definitely not something we want to rush into, because we still have a lot to learn.
Is the fuzziness around what the API should look like, I guess I'm trying to follow up on something you had said a bit earlier, Sarwar, which was You don't want an application to have to understand anything about the underlying infrastructure to be able to express what it needs. So let's take security as an example. If a application needs some sort of a particular security policy, and it so happens that a firewall can achieve that, we don't want it to necessarily know that it's a firewall getting the job done. We want it to express security in some abstract way that the controller translates into a sort of a firewall policy. Is that what we're getting at, or?
When security comes to it, something we're actually doing pretty well at expressing in security right now is, you know, reachability, which is, you know, things like network virtualization along the lines of, you know, these hosts can talk to each other, these hosts can't, and maybe even restrictions on how they can or what needs to be interposed between them. I think sort of abstracting out these fancy middle boxes, like, you know, and firewalls aren't very fancy, by the way, as far as middle boxes go, but abstracting out the differences between them and coming up with a common configuration language for like all firewalls or all load balancers, I think is sort of beyond where we are right now, although maybe we'll get there.
So I guess that's what I'm trying to understand. Is that an eventual long-term goal that makes sense, or do we want to abstract the concept out so far that the applications don't need to know anything about physical infrastructure or what a firewall is, that kind of thing? It just says, I need security, and you know, it's fulfilled.
I'd love to see that happen. I need security is probably a bit beyond where we'll ever get.
Okay.
Do I want to be able to abstract, you know, it to the point at which at least for relatively straightforward things like, you know, blocking certain ports and things like that, it's possible to do that in a vendor independent, device independent way? Absolutely. But I also always think there are going to be features which are going to not fit that model and are going to have to sort of be configured out of band. And so I have a way of thinking about this particular part, which I've come to like, which is basically that this actually started when HP released their controller and they talked about having an SDN marketplace or an SDN app store. And I was like, wait, I've been doing research on SDN applications and composability for a long time, and I have no idea how to solve how you sort of compose different applications, get them to play together well in the same network. How did they do this? And I looked at it, and really, and Sarwar, you can correct me if I'm wrong, what they've done is they've made it easy to plug in essentially virtual appliances into it and sort of chain them together. So you don't actually get control over the physical network, so to speak. You get to put bumps in the wire along paths. And when I first thought about that, I thought it was the stupidest thing ever because it's not really SDN. And when I thought about it for a while longer, I thought it was actually pretty smart, which is to say that, you know, you can clump your network's functionality into, like, you know, essentially stuff implemented by middle boxes and stuff implemented by sort of basic switching and forwarding. And if you do that, it might or might not make sense, but a way to think about it would be to move almost everything you could into these sort of virtual middle boxes that you then route things through, and that leave those sort of out of the bounds, at least at the beginning, of the SDN controller, aside from the SDN controller wiring them up. And then the SDN controller's really, its function is about picking the correct physical or maybe logical paths for each set of traffic as they pass through these different boxes. And if you think about it that way, then sort of what the northbound interfaces is becomes maybe a little bit clearer just because you partitioned the problem into two parts, each of which you can think about independently. And so in that way, sort of the SDN policy about the SDN controller is really just about listing the boxes you want it to go through and some description of the physical path it should follow. Like, you know, these two paths should be, you know, edge disjoint or link or switch disjoint or, you know, or something to that effect. And then you have sort of a more NFV-like thing, which I think we have less of a good handle on, but we can start chewing on, which is sort of how do I configure which boxes it should go through along the way and how those boxes themselves should be configured. Does that make sense?
Well, that makes sense to me. What you're getting at as far as, you know, boxes and the service chaining aspect and how that's going to happen. But I only see that as one sort of an application. I guess another kind of an application that I had in my head was, just to pick an example of HP yet again, the work that they did with Microsoft and the Link platform so that Link could communicate to the HP controller, I've got a call standing up between these two endpoints, you know, put QoS in place between those two endpoints so that the call has good quality, and then being able to tear down that QoS after the call has ended. At least that's my understanding of basically what it is doing. So there's no middle boxes involved there. It's actually doing QoS provisioning across the infrastructure, which I see as kind of a different thing from what you were describing.
In that particular case, Ethan, you know, that's an example of an application, you know, a first-class application, this one being Microsoft Link, you know, that's setting up all manner of media sessions across the network, right? There's voice, there's video, there's desktop sharing. And, you know, the northbound interface here really was, you know, it was a result of collaboration between two partners who decided, you know, we need to find a way to be able to do this without the application Microsoft Link needing to reach down into, you know, the individual switches or into a switching management platform, right? Is there a way you can abstract it? So, you know, without sort of getting into the details, I think the one thing that came out of that particular exercise was, you know, both parties decided that, you know, the work that was done here was important enough, and I think more importantly, it was useful in sort of, you know, other contexts, right? I mean, a QoS can be used in contexts other than just, you know, media sessions. That, you know, we're now working with, you know, both in the ONF as well as with a different standards body called the USIF, the Unified Communications Interoperability Forum, and abstracting away the sort of the Microsoft and the HP-ness of those interfaces, and submitting those use cases for potential standardization or path standardization. The learning there was, you know, here's something that we were able to do with, you know, an SDN controller and an application. Take away all the voice and the video bits, and it's really just, you know, engineering QoS on a network. Let's figure out what the right info model is. Let's figure out what the right data models are, and maybe this is something we can propose as, you know, a first step to a common interface across controllers. And that work is actually going on right now. That's actually one of the sort of really hot use cases that we're pursuing in ONF. And we're hoping to land an implementation of it in daylight. That's sort of the platform, the reference platform we've chosen. And, you know, once it lands, it'll be similar to the interface that, you know, Microsoft and its other partners are using for the same thing. So just there, we're taking work that's been done, sort of abstracting out the common parts, or rather factoring out the common parts, and then making it available to the community. Obviously, the community is going to go through, you know, a review process, a change process, and then we're going to implement it, again, in the community, in the open. And I think that's how you'll see some of these useful northbound interfaces for certain kinds of applications start taking shape.
This is really, really cool stuff. I think that path properties certainly come into play. So, I mean, I you know, for instance, things like quality of service are things which you cannot do sort of in points at the edge. Picking a path that doesn't, you know, that avoids congestion is something which you can't really do in middle boxes at the edge. And so these kinds of things are the places where I think you're going to see the most bang for the buck in SDN, because they're things which you can't fake with, you know, software at the edge, right? These are things which actually need to get in there. And so I think things like, you know, reliable paths with, you know, failover and, you know, quality of service and guaranteed bandwidth, which is related but not quite the same thing, and latency guarantees, things like this are going to be things which you see being more frequently provided and sort of provided with APIs for in SDN controllers than things like, you know, higher level services like, you know, security and, you know, load balancing and things like that, which tend to be handled by, you know, can be handled pretty well in point solutions. And we'll get there, but we're sort of making it through them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think I kind of stumbled into, by bringing up the Microsoft HP example, the way that northbound interfaces might come to the fore. One of the things I've learned as I've looked at Open Daylight and a lot of recent standards efforts that are being driven in IETF and so on, is that they are use case driven. In other words, there's not some big one size fits all solution that everybody's coming up with. Like you were saying earlier, there's no one northbound interface. There's a whole bunch of them that are going to communicate in different directions and do a number of different things to meet an end goal. But it is a specific use case. What are you specifically trying to do? Let's not be nebulous. Let's nail it down to something specific. Then when you get that specific thing defined, what it is, then it seems like the standards groups or the open source project, whatever it is, moves forward. I mean, certainly that's true in Open Daylight. There's been a lot of very specific projects to accomplish specific things that then get rolled into the overall ODL release.
Yeah, I mean, how else do you proceed at a time when you really don't quite know how everything is going to go forward? I mean, I think that's sort of it's a really nice observation, but I think it's basically us grabbing a hold of what little we can and do understand and trying to make some progress there. And as we move along, we'll probably find common places where things look about the same. I mean, I think MPLS is a really good example of sort of a protocol, which it turns out solves, 17 different use cases. But getting to the point where we understood things well enough to understand that that was useful took us a while. And I think you're going to see the same thing happen with sort of northbound interfaces and use cases.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a misconception on the part of maybe me, who comes more from the operational background, and other folks too, who, you read an RFC and it's sort of like the tablets coming from the mount on high. These were given, this is how it shall be. But how it was actually developed was really from the experience of folks who know what they need to accomplish and are trying to get something done, and then the standard comes forth. It's not the other way around, which, again, for folks who are looking at it from the outside in, looking from the outside of a standards body and then looking in, I mean to say, maybe that's counterintuitive. But so it's interesting to me then to look at northbound interfaces and how SDN in general is developing and go, okay, so what's really happening here is everyone's coming up with, this is what we want to accomplish specifically, as opposed to, let's build a very general framework that anything could be applied to. It's kind of the other way around. And you gave the example of MPLS. How did MPLS develop? Well, it started out doing one thing, and then there ended up being all of these various problems that SDN can solve, and a whole bunch of RFCs around them that accomplish that. And SDN seems to be headed, in that same direction.
So with one difference, though, not exclusive to northbound interface, but what we're seeing in terms of sort of SDN development, especially around controllers and their interfaces, you're seeing the problem being tackled in parallel. At least in my mind, it's complementary by both, what you would refer to as standards or pseudo standards organizations, as well as, code producing bodies. And OpenStack and OpenDaylight are sort of prime examples of that. And what's interesting is both of them are, as you correctly mentioned, taking this use case based approach to trying to get to a useful solution. Where they differ is sort of the velocity with which they're proceeding. So if you look at over the last 3 or 4 years, before OpenDaylight became sort of the SDN open source poster child, then the Neutron, formerly known as Quantum API in OpenStack, was somehow heralded as the SDN API, the networking API that you needed to sort of comprehend to get to cloudify your applications. Now, looking back, it was maybe a somewhat silly presumption to make given how primitive those interfaces were and in fact still are. But there was both a momentum as well as a lot of I don't want to say hype because that connotates negativity, but I think there was a lot of very positive energy around those open source projects, and we're seeing a lot of that around projects in OpenDaylight as well. There is an open source there is a northbound interfaces project called the group based policy, which is, I believe, in incubation in OpenDaylight as well. Again, this one's very abstract. A bunch of people are working on it, still trying to work out the kinks, and we're trying to figure out where it'll go. But what you're seeing in development of these interfaces is you've got huge interest from SDOs. I mean, there are BOFs and discussion forums everywhere in ITF and IEEE and obviously in ONF around sort of the northbound for SDN. And then you've got these code-producing bodies. And hopefully they'll come together. That's my hope. At least the work I'm doing in ONF, I'm trying to create some kind of bridge there. But I think this is fundamentally different than how these things have happened with previous protocols and technologies. We've got sort of the pace of open source and the ability of some participants to be able to throw, lots of resources and use cases at it. And then you've got, your standards to your standards work, both working in parallel. And I'm hoping, the end result is, 1 + 1 = 2. That's really the hope.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I look back in the past, you look at what the IETF, or if you go back further to the OSI or, those organizations, they would spend 3 or 4 years, examining belly button fluff and doing chicken entrails to come up with standards like the SNMP standard or something like that. Is that fair? I mean, SDN and OpenFlow has only been around for 2 or 3 years, and we've been very focused on trying to do something with it instead of just sitting around chatting about it.
I personally have a very hard time, being critical of sort of the work being done in IEEE, IETF. For one thing, they're incredibly thorough. At the end of the day, what you get is very, very good engineering. Of course, there's politics being played in all those forums as well. And I think that's what frustrates folks. But, the sort of the technical innovation that comes out of there, we're sort of standing on the shoulders of all the folk who did that work now. And I still think that there's room for a lot of contribution from those areas as well, or rather from those organizations as well. But the order of the day is to move a little faster. And that's why we've got forums like ONF and of course, the open source stuff helps a lot, right? I mean, it's just matured so quickly that, it's a great place to do work.
Speaking back to sort of part of what Ethan said, which is that, it seems like RFCs come down from on high. I think one of the reasons why that's sort of falling apart in a good way is that open source inherently exposes that part of the design process, which is like iterating and trying to work through use cases, whereas standards tend to hide it. And I don't think there's a good or a bad there necessarily, but the process is much more exposed if you look at something like Open Daylight, where you see the truth, which is that we don't really know what we're doing until we're done. whereas in standards, the part where we admit that we don't know what we're doing sort of happens behind closed doors, at least. In a varyingly closed doors. So
yeah. I mean, the thing about the ONF is that a lot of its disputes and arguments were held in the open, and a lot of the marketing people involved couldn't help themselves but go public and say my way is the best way and beat their chests and say and we had. I've seen people from one company sit there and say OpenFlow is tremendous. It's going to be the way of the future. And then another person from another division right next to them sit there and say, oh, look, OpenFlow is just not good enough. It doesn't have the features that you need. And you're sitting there going like, you people clearly don't understand. You don't know how to use this technology. You don't know what you're trying to achieve. It's been a very confusing time for SDN standards is what I'm trying to say.
although I think that, before Open Daylight consumed my entire existence, I spent a bunch of time in the forwarding abstractions working group with Kurt Beckman and I guess before that, Dave Meyer in the ONF. And so I have to say that, I do agree with what Sarwar said, which is there's a bunch of really bright people there who do think through these problems at a more deliberative pace than, than the open source necessarily permits all the time. And that produces, sort of interesting and well thought out things. And I think actually that's a spectrum. And I think actually, the IETF and the IEEE are even further along that spectrum than the ONF. I actually think the ONF could learn something about how to release a little bit more precise and well thought out standards. Having tried to watch people implement OpenFlow 1.3 and discover its ambiguities.
Ambiguity is good. It gives you flexibility.
It depends.
And stands in the way of interoperability, but we'll overlook that.
Yeah. It works really, really well if you want to. You happen to make switches and they work a certain way and your controller also works that certain way. We're getting better at that though. I mean, and I'll pick on HP just because they've been around for so long, but at the very beginnings, OpenFlow was kind of a minefield of performance. Like you would install one rule and you would get line rate forwarding, and then you would, install a rule that looked almost identical, but differed in one way, and you would go from, gigabit per second to like 4 megabits per second because it was processing it on the CPU on the switch.
Right.
And we've gotten to the point where at least we have a much more predictability and overall high performance from sort of almost all vendors these days. So we're getting better. it's just that we're doing it all in public. So it's really easy to see where the warts are right now and where they need to be fixed. The good news is that I think that has meant that we've made what in almost any other technology at any other point in time would have taken 10 or 15 years of the progress in 4 years now. What is it? Is OpenFlow 5 years old now?
The standard isn't. I think it's been around longer than that, But the standard, I think, is a couple of years old at this point.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, I guess the question to come back to the Northbound APIs is what you're saying is that, you know, there's a lot of work being done here to make these APIs happen. But, you know, a lot of the, if people stand by and look at what the discussion is or hear the stories, it's like sitting in the middle of an IETF meeting, watching a grumpy old guy with a beard who's got 30 years of experience and a wealth and a cynicism and a tiredness about him that sort of says nothing's going to change because I'm tired of changing. And over here on the other side of the room with a young guy with all the passion in the world who thinks, you know, I've got answers because I'm doing real stuff. This old guy doesn't know what the hell he... And there's a whole bunch of people in the room all playing it out, and that's what's happening with these Northbound APIs.
I think that's not a terrible assessment, but the one thing which I will say, and I'll let Sarwar speak for a second, but like we could really use, you know, operators and users and people to come and let us know where we're right and where we're wrong. For the first time in a long time in networking, the loop is tight. And tight in the sense that we can do stuff quickly and produce something interesting, but also very, very open in the sense that, like, you know, if you guys wanted to show up to, and I know, in fact, at least Greg has shown up to Open Daylight meetings, and let us know, you know, what we should be doing, we will listen and we will try and do things. So why don't you tell us what the Northbound interfaces are?
Yep, big plus one to that. Big plus one to that because, I mean, that it's essentially, you know, what it comes down to is, you know, if you got a bunch of vendors together, you know, despite our sort of, you know, selfish interest, we could probably very easily find ways to, you know, develop, implement, proliferate, you know, APIs and sort of, you know, different kinds of northbounds that makes sense to us, but where, you know, where there's value is in, you know, these use cases and these discussions, like Colin is saying, being fronted by operators, by application developers. I mean, that's, you know, that's, I'll go back to the example with Microsoft for a second, right? I mean, they, the last thing they want, you know, the Microsoft team wants is to need to know how a network is configured or how to reach down into the network, right? They're saying, hey, we're an app. Please, please, please make this easy for us. This is what I need. I need to be able to get voice packets from destination A to destination B with, you know, with these characteristics. Please go figure it out for me, right? That's, you know, that's an application declaring or rather presenting its intent and its requirements. And, you know, they come from the application. It wasn't, you know, the guys who make switches and controllers presuming how a multimedia application ought to request services plumb network connections, right? So I think that's what's really important is, you know, with SDN, we have this opportunity for openness, both in the sort of the standards, T0 standard space, as well as in open source for, you know, operators and users to sort of really show up. And, you know, I think what will also be interesting here is, you know, to see who shows up, because you know, we read a lot about sort of, you know, DevOps and how you know, networking is sort of, you know, the next domain that DevOps is going to conquer. Most of the customers I talk to tell me they don't want their application developers, you know,
You know, that's an old discussion. APIs the challenge to the network. I mean, I haven't been, you know, don't make it sound like I've been to all the meetings. I haven't. I've dropped in on a couple of them when I had the opportunity to do so. It's very, you know, like most people, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to do SDN day to day. And so I have to make money on the side somewhere. So I don't get to sit in on the meetings and you know, there is a fair amount of sort of push, you know, dynamic conversation going on that is very hard to follow if you're not actually on the inside. Now, that's not a criticism, by the way. That's just perfectly natural, all things considered. I guess to come back to the northbound APIs, what's the process of getting through and defining these APIs? Is it really just a case of, you know, people rubbing up against each other and then saying, well, I'm just going to go and start contributing this code? I mean, you know, as you said earlier, HP is now a platinum member of the Open Daylight Foundation. Are you bringing your APIs with you and then putting them alongside of Cisco's northbound APIs? Because, you know, Cisco's got ACI and it now wants that to be the master of everything. You know, it wants to be... You know, the way ACI is kind of developing is it wants to be an eye of Sauron that sits above everything. And Open Daylight will be just another southbound interface that it's able to do something with in addition to, you know, Wi-Fi and WANs and security and IDSs. And, you know, it'll also be able to program executives at this rate.
Well, so the one comment I'll make there is, you know, in terms of our participation, I think, you know, I think to... It's great to bring your ideas and even sort of your pre-existing work and implementation into a community and propose it as you know, a sort of potential contribution area, as long as, you know, you the vendor are open, you the person making the contribution are open to, you know, the community wanting to sort of, you know, massage it as needed. So, you know, to the extent where someone takes the approach that we're going to use open source as a marketing vehicle for, you know, we're going to use the halo effect of open, right, an open and open source, and simply publish the work we're doing and throw so many bodies at it and so many resources at it that, you know, we'll get our way no matter what. But look, we're doing it in the open. I think that goes against the spirit of open source, right? I think doing stuff in the open requires some level of consensus building, some level of debate, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, right, I talked about this concept of velocity in open source. Your success is measured in terms of, you know, lines of code and how quickly you're getting stuff out there. It's easy to game the system. You know, it's easy to game the system if you've got something, you know, if IHP were to show up with something that I've done, I were to say, you know, I'm putting the code in and I'm putting, you know, a half a dozen developers or a dozen developers on here as well. That's difficult for the larger community that has, you know, members of all different, you know, shapes and sizes. Yeah. And, you know,
and those people have deadlines. You know, people want to see them deliver something and execute on something. So they have to produce something. You know, you can't just sit there and say, well, you know, we'll have another discussion this week and talk about some APIs. That's going to be like as popular as pork at a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, so I think the way all of this gets done is, I'm being very honest here. I think you'll see it done in sort of in fits and starts. You'll see you'll see someone come up with a compelling use case or a compelling idea that everyone can rally around, and everyone will do their bit to pitch in. There will be sort of the honest debate, the, you know, the open implementation, and you'll get it. And then there will be lulls. There will be some lulls where, you know, for certain things, you know, we will have sort of, you know, healthy debate and the deadlocks, and you know, we may have to table stuff until more stuff gets figured out. But I think that's fine. I think that's part of the, you know, the larger message here, which is, you know, if anyone's expecting, you know, 12 months from now there will be this magical API that any app developer can use to talk to any SDN controller, I think we have to temper those expectations. I think you will see that happen for certain classes of use cases, and hopefully it'll be use cases that, you know, are applicable to 80% of the market, right? And fit 50, 60% of an application writer's requirements, and everything else they have to do via proprietary extensions or do some, you know, real hard work. I really think, you know, that's how this will proceed. Not how it ought to proceed, but that's how realistically it will proceed.
Yeah, but that's not unusual, though. I mean, and we're seeing that in SDN, you know, right along the way here, where every vendor is coming up with their own way to achieve software-defined functionality, you know, on top of the networking infrastructure. There's still a lot of different controllers out there. Whether or not Open Daylight's going to become the common base remains to be seen. Seems likely at this point, considering how much momentum ODL's got, but far from a sure thing. And then the issue of proprietary extensions. Well, yeah, there's so many unique functions that every vendor may offer, a unique value proposition, that it's easy to imagine a common baseline of functionality that is achieved by a set of northbound interfaces that would need to be extended so that a vendor's full functionality within their ecosystem and within their infrastructure could be taken advantage of. It seems unlikely that everything's going to be, you know, one standard that everyone's going to adhere to, and that's it. It's going to be a standard plus, you know, a lot of things. You know, even OpenFlow, like NEC pops into mind. Well, yeah, they're using OpenFlow to do their programmable flow product, but it's programmable. It's OpenFlow plus their own programmable flow extensions that are adding functionality to let them do other things that the OpenFlow they were compliant with didn't allow. So it just seems to be a normal way of things. And I don't know that we're ever going to get away from that. Especially when you get into the kinds of, well, just to go back to the HP Microsoft example, you know, my goodness, there's a couple of products that are doing software-defined networking on the HP side in a very specific way, pushing down, you know, the intent of an application into their switches via OpenFlow and whatever other means, and then Microsoft Link expressing its QoS needs in a particular way. And then, as you were saying earlier, Sarwar, now we're talking about maybe taking that use case example and, you know, trying to figure out how to make that something that could be commonly used by the infrastructure. But at the end of the day, it was a very specific application doing very specific things.
What's worth sort of taking away from that is that, you know, just the way product development takes place inside product companies, you tend to focus your resources where there is, you know, a specific customer need that, you know, translates into, you know, a market opportunity. And that not only serves as a, you know, as a proof point of usefulness, but it also proves as a proof point of technical feasibility. So I think that's what you'll see with some of these use cases. I think some of the, you know, diversify the you know, the application, the examples we're talking about here. You know, some of the other use cases that you know, have been submitted into us sort of for consideration as part of the ONF work, right, have come from the security space, right? They're DDoS, or there's, you know, a couple of cloud use cases that have also come from application vendors and cloud vendors. And again, it always starts with, I have a specific product that, you know, I built this for. However, I think that the work I did is, you know, generally useful and could be sort of abstracted away. I think that's actually a great way to ensure doing is useful. I worry about falling into this trap of, you know, building a catalog of 100 use cases, you know, that, you know, six vendors get together and, you know, in a dark, smoky room and cook up. But if they're not driven by actual, you know, customer requirement, and at the end of the day, if there isn't a market need for them, then, you know, we're likely wasting our time on some of them, at least.
Is everyone on the call in generally in agreement that northbound interfaces to some degree require standardization, that it is appropriate for us to move forward with that? Because it wasn't all that long ago the argument was, we're not even ready to think about this. It's too soon. I mean, does it make sense to begin marching down this road now?
I would say that I don't see – we didn't really standard – I mean, so if you go look at, you know, let's say iOS and Android – you know, did we standardize those interfaces? Not in the way that networking people would think about the phrase standardize, right? Mm-hmm. And yet that seems to be a really, really well-functioning ecosystem on both sides. So I would say if we standardize anything, it's going to be post-fact. Think POSIX in the operating systems world. That would be my preference and my belief as to where we're going to go.
I think that you know, what Colin is stating is actually in fact happening, which is, you know, most of the work that's going on in this space is around you know, identifying the use cases, building the right sort of information and data models, implementing it, seeing if it sticks, and then talking about standardization. So right now, we're still, you know, sort of in the you know, we're in the pre-implementation phase where we hope to start implementing pretty soon on some of these use cases. And eventually, once, you know, we've got working implementations, we've had a chance to sort of fine tune them sort of in the field, then I think they become candidates for, you know, hey, here's, you know, a reasonably standard way of doing X, Y, Z. So I may have just, you know, restated what Colin said here, but I think that's the pragmatic way to go. There is no room, at least in my mind, for, you know, a paper standard when it comes to Northbound interfaces, right? Simply publishing something and saying, you know, here's how it ought to be, controller vendors, you know, go forth and implement, I think is not terribly useful right now. There's just a lot that needs to get figured out.
Okay, so we've got a lot of listeners to this show, and some of those folks might be interested in helping contribute to the development of Northbound interfaces. And if they wanted to do that, how could they get involved?
So I'll plug Open Daylight, although there's just because that's the most open organization to get involved in, as far as I can tell. OpenStack also maybe, but less focused on networking. Hmm. Open Daylight is, as I think Greg sort of admitted to it, a little bit of a fire hose, but the people involved are really welcoming. I'm not just making that up. If there's an IRC channel, which is #OpenDaylight on Freenode, and if you search Open Daylight Freenode, you'll probably find the instructions. The wiki is wiki.opendaylight.org, or you can go to, which is where a bunch of the documentation is. There's a mailing list at lists.opendaylight.org. And sort of all of these places, there are people that will come help you out if you're interested in doing anything. And even if all you want to do is show up and say, here's what I'm trying to do and I'm curious if it can be done, people will answer your questions and will help you get started and playing around with things. I think there's also cool work being done, you know, in the ONF and other places. Those organizations tend to be a little bit less openly available to everybody.
Yeah, Sarwar, I mean, on the ONF side, my understanding is you would need to be employed by a member organization, and then you could engage. But I, you know, as far as general participation, I don't. That there's not really a vehicle for that with the ONF, right?
You're right. You know, it is a membership sort of organization, and you know, most of that has to do with you know, the fact that, you know, people who sign up agree to do sort of the right thing by means of sort of, you know, any IP that's generated and whatnot. But we do, you know, with respect to Northbound interfaces, we have sort of taken the unprecedented step last year of hosting a gathering, sort of a two-day workshop for non-members. And what we did there was actually encouraged other SDOs and open source organizations to participate. And there is a mechanism via sort of, you know, liaison agreements to let, you know, some non-member entities take part. Now, it's not the same as, you know, signing up for a mailing list on Open Daylight. It's a little more involved, but we have managed, for example, to get, you know, an entire consortium of companies that are part of USIF, the Unified Communications Interoperability Forum, to take part in our deliberations via, you know, a liaison agreement put together. So a little more work, but if someone is interested in participating there and they find they're not a member, or rather their company's not a member, you know, reach out to me and we'll, you know, we'll see what we can do. I want to echo Colin's recommendation. I mean, Open Daylight, you know, fantastic open community. Lots of discussions going on in OpenStack as well. And in OpenStack, you know, there are many, many northbounds, not just for networking. And, you know, there's even talk now of an Uber sort of northbound for policy frameworks, you know, that cuts across everything in OpenStack. Again, very interesting conversations, very you know, lively debate. All of it is accessible on IRC, in wikis, in blueprints. So, you know, I think this is a it's almost unprecedented the number of ways people can get involved. And for people who are unable to sort of make it through the gates or attend the work in ONF, we will soon embarking on sort of an implementation phase for the work that's coming out of the work group. And again, we'll be doing that in open source. So over there, everyone's free to participate. right? It's not member-only at that point.
The other thing which I'll add to that is that the people involved in Open Daylight and the people involved in the ONF have a very significant overlap. So if you show up to Open Daylight meetings, under no circumstances would anybody ever, you know, talk about what's going on inside the ONF, nor would anything from the Open Daylight conversations ever make it into the ONF conversation.
he says with tongue firmly planted in his cheek. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but you know, I mean, and the community is really, really good people. I mean, just, and they are willing to listen and interact. And I think something which we could use more of at all times would be even if you don't write code, even if you don't write standards, even if you've never done any of this stuff before, everything we're doing in networking right now, at least in SDN, is unprecedented. So, but please show up and give your ideas, your concerns, your worries, your dreams about what it is that your network could do, because there are people now that have the ability to go do that in a way that really hasn't been true at any other point.
It's a butterfly wings. You might have an idea that turns into something big, I guess.
I'm dead serious. I mean, yes.
Well, guys, this seems like a good place for us to wrap up the show. And Sarwar and Colin, what we normally do to conclude the show is just give you guys an opportunity to plug anything you'd like to plug, a blog or your Twitter handle or a book that you might be writing or have published, anything like that. And Sarwar, let's start with you. How could folks follow you on the internet and anything you'd like to plug?
I am not terribly prolific on Twitter, although I'm trying to get better. You can follow me at Raza Sarwar. That's RazaSarwar. I tend to blog occasionally on the HP networking site. So if you just look at HP networking blog, Sarwar Raza, you can see some of my ramblings. But, you know, I am, like I said, very excited about the new position we've taken in Daylight, and I'm hoping to be a lot more active in that community. So I really look forward to seeing many, many, many of your listeners there. And of course, for those of you who take part in ONF, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific, you know how to look up the ONF calendar, you know how to get on the call.
Very good, and thank you for joining us on Packet Pushers. What about you, Colin?
So I'm moderately more active on Twitter, but not stunningly so, at Colin underscore Dixon. That's Colin underscore Dixon. I'm also blog occasionally at my website, colindixon.com, or I guess the blog link technically redirects you to cyberpuncture.net, but it's easy to remember, colindixon.com. And Open Daylight, you know, rather than plugging a book or, you know, anything going forward there, Open Daylight is really what I'd like to plug. Please come and show up. Again, you know, sort of if you go to wiki.opendaylight.org, that has sort of how to get involved, a bunch of the IRC channels and things like that. And if you feel like IRC is a throwback to 15 years ago, you're absolutely right. But for whatever reason, the open source world has stuck with it and it seems to work. So don't let that intimidate you. There's good web clients and all of that stuff. So please come join us, give your opinions, help write code, you know, just interact. You'll enjoy it, I promise.
Thank you very much again, Colin, for joining us on Packet Pushers. And Greg, what's going on? Anything you want to conclude with?
No, not much. I mean, I would like to plug the community podcast, which we talked about, and asking people to go and rate the show in iTunes, because we need to do, you know, we'd like to grow. I think we're going to come up. You and I are sort of, I get the sense that we're going to be focusing more on packet pushes and growing it a bit in the months ahead. And it's always good to start these things early, isn't it?
yeah.
Because this show may take weeks to get published. So by all means, please come along to the Packet Pushers website, to my own blog at etherealmind.com, where I actually do write reasonably frequently, 3 or 4 times a week recently, or follow me on Twitter as @etherealmind. Don't bother leaving messages on Facebook or LinkedIn or Google, because even though I send stuff to them, I don't actually go and patrol them on any regular basis. It's just so that you can see what I've published lately. It's not that I actually go and live there. I only live on Twitter.
And I am Ethan Banks at EC Banks on Twitter, and you can follow me on my blog at ethancbanks.com, where my blog articles get published, and I also have a feed for where I'm writing elsewhere, like Network World and Network Computing, etc. And of course, this is the Packet Pushers podcast. PacketPushers.net is our home base, and you can follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers. If you have any questions about this show, questions for Colin or Sarwar, or just about the show in general, send an email to packetpushers@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.